Nice to see you all. I've already apologized to Roger because some of what I'm going to say tonight was said this morning. So, but again, it's just reaffirming the great truth of the scripture, isn't it, and what the Lord has given us. Is this for me? Thank you very much. But it's great to be together, isn't it? I was just thinking this morning, there seemed to be a theme running through the meeting, didn't there? And it was to do with intimacy with the Lord Jesus, with our Savior. And it's absolutely foundational, isn't it, to our lives, everything that springs from that. So all of our church activities, all of our interactions with each other really springs from this intimate relationship we have with the Lord Jesus. And that's really what he wants to cultivate and produce in us. And it's something that we need to maintain. So what I wanted to say this evening has really just come from a song. The Lord gives you songs sometimes, doesn't he? And it can be just a line, and this line was from that. It's like an old chorus that we used to sing, sometimes we still do. Thou dost seek a bride all pure and holy. And the verse later on says, Lord, we answer to thy heart's deep longing. And it was really just my thoughts this week have gone along the lines of the Lord's longing heart, God's longing heart for man. And a relationship with him, a close personal relationship with him. And I believe that's the Lord's ultimate desire, isn't it? He created us in the beginning for relationship with himself. And if you'd like to turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. I apologize if some of this is kind of repeating what Roger has said this morning. Revelation chapter 3, I'm kind of looking at it from a different perspective in that these are the Lord Jesus' words to the seven churches. And if you look down into verse 20, there's one verse that's really stood out to me. It's a very famous verse. It says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. And when I was reading this verse, it really kind of breaks down into three different parts, doesn't it? The first part is really God's heart, God's longing for us. Just the picture of him standing at a door and knocking. And then it moves on to our response, what he wants from us. And then at the end, we get the result, the fruit of that response. And this verse, really, it comes in the context of repentance, doesn't it? He's speaking to the church of Laodicea. And this whole thing is kind of based around the repentance of this church. But I believe the truth of this verse can be applied today to each one of us. People have interpreted this verse and this scripture in many different ways. But I think just this one verse encapsulates so much about what the Lord is all about, his heart, his desire for us, and our response to him. And if we look back, we can see God's heart, God's desire for us, can't we? Even as we're reading through the Old Testament, there's so much. Roger's been touching on it. But if we go right back to the beginning, the Garden of Eden, the Lord God saying, let us make man in our image, with the purpose of this relationship, this communion with him. And then as it moves through, we see Adam and Eve walking in the garden with God, communing with him in relationship. And then, of course, we know it's possibly the greatest calamity of all time. Adam falls into sin. And at that point, there was a wall. A wall was created between God and man. This sin wrecks everything, doesn't it? Primarily, it wrecks relationships. It wrecked that initial relationship with the Lord, and it wrecks relationships through our entire lives, doesn't it? This is what sin does. It wreaks havoc. But you can still see God's longing heart, even in the garden, when he says, Adam, where are you? Where are you? And he's still saying this today to each one of us. Where are you? We can put our own names in there. Yes, there's this great wall. And I know we've read in this verse about a door. Well, this is different. We'll see a little bit later on how this is different to the wall. But this wall was built between a holy God and sinful man, wasn't it? As we move through, we can still see God's desire to be with men and women. And we see that. It's like as we read through the Old Testament, he's always kind of clouded or shrouded, if you like, by something. And it's usually, quite often it was the elements, it was fire, it was a cloud. But it was like he was trying to get as close to mankind as he possibly could. But there was only so far he could go. And Moses was a very privileged man. He got as close as anyone, I believe, in the Old Testament, didn't he, to seeing the Lord's face. It said he did speak with him face to face. I don't think we can take that quite literally. But there was another time when the Lord would only show him the back of himself. He was basically saying, I want to be near my people. I want to be as close as I can. But if you come any closer, you're going to die. And that was basically it. There was nothing that the Lord could do at that time any more than what he'd already done to get as close as he could to his people. And it just kind of expresses that deep longing, doesn't it? That desire that the Lord, that God wants from us. Relationship, fellowship, communion. And Roger's been going through through some of these Old Testament issues, and this morning it was the tabernacle, and that's another great example, isn't it, of the Lord dwelling in a certain place, trying to get as close as he can to mankind without wiping them all out. It's just a great picture, isn't it? This great wall between us. I'm in the building trade. I spend quite a lot of time building walls and knocking them down again. Not the same ones I've just built. There's usually a gap between. Unless something's gone really wrong. I'm not saying it's never happened. The trend now is open plan living. So everyone, all of these renovations we're doing, for the most part, people are just knocking all the walls down in their living space. And it's kind of it might come and go, but I like it personally. I like just having like lots of open space. And really, that's what God wants for us. He wants an open plan relationship. He doesn't want walls. He doesn't want little compartments here, there, you know, places where you can hide away and just be by yourself. I do like the idea of that somewhat in reality. But the Lord, in his relationship with us, he wants no barriers, no walls, nothing. Open plan living, open plan relationship. And as we move on through Scripture, I don't want to dwell too much on this, but there's a line in a hymn. It says, is this thing on properly? It feels like it's just wobbling around all over the place. There's a line in a hymn that says, the bar to heaven has been removed. And as we move on through the Old Testament into the New, we come to this great truth that the Lord Jesus has demolished this wall, this barrier between God and man, a holy God, sinful man. Let me just turn you to Ephesians quickly. There's just really great verses. Ephesians chapter 2. Very well known. If we just read from verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation. That's not just between the Jews and the Gentiles. That's between God and man. This great wall has been destroyed. Having abolished it in his flesh, the enmity, that is, or hostility, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And it's just a great passage of Scripture, isn't it? No separation. That's what the Lord wants, no separation. And if there's anyone who senses that the Lord is keeping them at arm's length, you can take comfort in these verses. The Lord is longing for fellowship, for closeness with you. And we live in a world of naysayers, don't we, in many ways. I was thinking of those words that David spoke, where these voices, these people were saying to him, where is your God? Where is your God? And we can hear that voice sometimes, can't we, in this world? Where is your God? But take comfort. God is longing to be with you. God is longing to bring you close to him, to draw you close to him. And a great picture of this is, if you read through the Song of Solomon, you'll see this picture of the bridegroom, Christ, longing for the bride, his church. We can hear sometimes, we can hear this sometimes in the world, can't we, where people separate the God of the Old Testament to the God of the New, and they think the God of the Old Testament is harsh, heavy-handed, standoffish, and the God of the New Testament is a bit more kind of warm and cuddly and, you know, all forgiving. God hasn't changed. Malachi tells us that. The Lord says, I change not. The God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament. But the difference is this great and miraculous work that the Lord Jesus has done for us on the cross, having demolished this wall, we now have access to a holy God. And it's just it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And trying to get that across is often difficult, because people will quite often separate the two, and we just can't do that. But with all of these scriptures, I think the Lord leaves us in no doubt that he wants to be with us, and he wants us to enjoy him. So as the next part of this verse, as we look through, we get this picture of the Lord standing at the door and knocking. It's just a picture of his desire. And then we move on to the next part of it. It says, if any man hears my voice and opens the door. This is a different analogy now. It's like we've moved. The Lord is speaking to his church in this scripture. So he's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to men and women like you and me. Even though this great wall has been destroyed, torn down, the Lord has opened himself up for mankind to come in and fellowship with him. There's another picture here of a door, and this is different to the wall in the fact that you can open it. And this is something that I believe that even as Christians, we can shut a door on the Lord. We can shut a door on fellowship with him. And usually that happens through some kind of sin. But it's not always the case. It can be just a case of being distracted, being too busy. There's so many reasons, just general neglect. Maybe at the end of the day, they all just kind of move into a sinful disposition. It's interesting that the Lord speaking to these seven churches. It's amazing. When I was just reading through this, you think the seven churches here, two of them seem to be doing quite well. And the rest of them are in a shambles, aren't they? And some of them in just a really bad way. But they're still the Lord's people. They're still his church. And to think that one day he will receive a holy, spotless bride is a miracle of grace, isn't it? And we can apply this to ourselves as well. And we just think, Lord, it's what a miracle. And you look at all these issues, some of them really, really bad. And you just think, one day the Lord's going to just bring us all home. And we will be pure, spotless, and holy before him. That's just a side thought. But these Laodiceans have shut the door. They've shut the door on the Lord, haven't they? Through their sin and different things. And it's like they found a hiding place. When the Lord was looking for Adam in the garden, you remember? He was hiding. And that's what sin does. It makes us hide. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to get too close to the Lord. It's going to upset things. And there's a shame involved. And that's what these Laodiceans have done. They've closed the door. And we don't really know all the beginnings of it and the reasons for it. And some of the other churches too. The church at Ephesus, their main problem was that they'd left their first love. And it doesn't always happen overnight. Sometimes it can be just a gradual moving away. Just a very slow neglect. You can read about this a lot in Hebrews. And it's where you kind of remove your focus from the Lord, and you're kind of looking at other things, listening to other voices, and that brings us to another aspect of this, and that's repentance. He says, "If anyone hears my voice and opens the door," this is just their act of repentance, a coming back to the Lord, if you like. They've realized, whether they did or not, but for us, we realize that we've lost our way somewhere. We've been taken up with other things. And I mean, we're all tempted by different things, but I think busyness for me is, even though in and of itself there's nothing wrong with it, but it can lead to real problems in my own spiritual life. And I just find that focus on the Lord, maintenance of that relationship with him is very, very important. I was thinking, was it last Sunday night? This is just by way of thinking about maintaining your spiritual walk. We saw a slide of Norman's monastery. I don't know where it was, somewhere out here, out there, was it? And I thought, yeah. there's something about that is you can hear different people say, you know, I can commune with the Lord through the day, which is right and correct. But there's another side where, for me, speaking personally, I need a place to go and be with the Lord and shut everything else out and just focus completely on Him. And it's not some form of legalism or anything. It just, for me, it's just what I want to do in my heart. I just want to be alone with the Lord. And whether it's a monastery or, you know, a side road near Clatterbridge Roundabout, it's just somewhere for you to go and just shut everything else out. I live in a bungalow with 5 other people and a dog, and I wouldn't have it any other way. But there's times where I need to be alone. And yeah, we all kind of find that space, that quiet time with the Lord in different ways. But I believe it's needful. And it's in this place that we will hear His voice. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, there's so many voices out there, isn't there? So many distractions. There's so many things to do. So many people to please. there's just a lot that's put on us. But the important thing is that we're listening to the Lord. And I still believe the Lord's primary source of communication is through His scriptures, through His word. He speaks in many other ways. We heard that this morning, didn't we, through Val. Miraculous. Just a word of comfort. But for the most part, it's through this book that the Lord will speak to us. But He's asking us, open the door of your heart. You may find yourself somewhere where your relationship is cold. You feel like you've kind of distanced yourself a bit from the Lord. You've lost that flame, that burning desire inside you to know Him and to be with Him. And really all He's asking is just to open the door, hear His voice, open the door, respond to Him, and come back in. And this is the Lord's promise as we go down to the next part. Oh, there's one other illustration that I remembered. My brother-in-law has a son called Mark, my nephew. He's a great kid. He's a big kid now. But he has autism, and his communication is very limited. So it's usually just you'll speak to him and he'll respond with the same words. He'll just repeat what you've said. My brother-in-law, Andrew, gives a great illustration of when he was, I don't know how old Mark would have been, 7 or 8 possibly. Anyway, he was coming home from work and he could see Mark. His bedroom window was right on the pathway and he could see Mark in his bedroom playing with his toys. And as he walked past the window, he just tapped on the window to try and get his attention. And he wouldn't look up. And he knocked louder, and he still wouldn't look up. And he put his lunchbox down, and he's banging on the window with both of his hands like this, trying to get a response from his boy. And the picture that came to him was the Lord. And I thought it's a great illustration of how the Lord longs for His children. Sorry, just thinking about it makes me choke up. He's such a great kid. He's just blessed so many people over the years. But it's that longing, isn't it, of the Lord. He just wants us to turn around. We get distracted, don't we? With toys and this, that and the other, whatever it might be for each one of us. But he wants us to turn around and engage with a heart that's wide open to him. And then we come to the Lord's promise. He says, I will come in and dine with him, and he with me. And this is the result, isn't it, of our turning to him, of our moving toward him. He's not at arm's length anymore for us. Any distance that we put between us and the Lord, we've put there ourselves. He's made every provision for us to move into fellowship. We were hearing about that this morning. Every barrier, every bar, every wall removed for us to enjoy a relationship and fellowship with him. And he says, I will dine. And it speaks of just partaking, doesn't it, of the Lord. Peter says we are partakers of the divine nature. This is just a great privilege, isn't it? I mean, we can't even get our heads around it, can we? All of who God is, his characteristics, his attributes, we've become partakers of them. And through the Lord Jesus, it's a great miracle. And we're to feed on him. Just turn with me to John chapter 6. Verse 35. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. The bread of heaven. This is the secret for us. Feeding on the Lord Jesus himself. Partaking of him. And in some miraculous way, he partakes of us. And it's like this, I want to call it Holy Communion. I know that phrase has been kind of, it's been worn threadbare by High Church, Catholic Church. But this is the truth. I love the phrase Holy Communion. And this is what happens between the Lord and his church. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And we'll never hunger. The soul without God will always hunger, will always thirst. If we haven't found this place in the Lord, we'll always be searching, we'll always be hungry for something. And we try and find it in different things in the world. But the Lord says, if you come to me, you'll never thirst. You'll never thirst again. You won't thirst for any of those wells that you used to drink from. I will satisfy you completely. This is God's promise to us. He leaves us lacking nothing. But he wants the full devotion of our hearts. And it's up to us to keep ourselves in this place. Keep ourselves in the love of God. Maintain it. And I believe that this is more. It definitely involves prayer, definitely involves reading, serving him. But I believe it's more than that. It's kind of just a disposition of heart where we're just wide open to him at all times. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, it's just having a heart that's open and a heart that's responsive to him. And in that place we are dining, we are feeding, we are receiving from him. And I've often thought, how do we feed on the Lord? How do we receive from him? How do we eat and drink? And I think a big part of it is just in believing, isn't it? Our whole lives are based on our faith in Him. And just believing in Him always is just an act of receiving. It says that which is not of faith is sin. That's a big scary verse if you ask me. But it really is. It's central to our lives, isn't it? We can't wake up, we can't breathe, we can't do anything without faith. It's like that which is not of faith is sin. Our whole lives are to be one of faith. And it's in this that we move forward, we receive, we believe. It's not just, you know, we believe for a certain thing. We have faith for the Lord to do this or to do that. It's just we have faith to be, just to be in the Lord. And having a heart wide open to God. And it's from this place, I believe, that all of our activities, all of our service, all of our day-to-day interactions springs from this place of fellowship and communion with the Lord. The flip side is, you know, the Lord is pining for communion with us, and we also must find a place where we are pining for communion with Him and finding it and being fulfilled and pining again and so on and so on. It's just an ongoing experience for us, isn't it, in this Christian life? And it's from this place, I believe, that all of these other things spring. When you think about church life, there's so much that goes on. There's so many activities. There's so many things to do. But it can very easily just become routine and religious ritual, can it, quite often? And we see it a lot in different church. I'm not going to name any in particular, but just in different aspects of church, you can see where this kind of feeling that we need to serve and to work to kind of please the Lord in one sense, and to keep, you know, in right relationship with Him. And it's not right. It should be the other way around. Our relationship with the Lord, our fellowship, our communion with Him is the source for all of these other things. They all spring from our love and devotion to the Lord. I think it was Della who said at house group last week, she talked to someone, and he said, "Yeah, I'm religious." He said, "I'm too scared not to be," was his words. And I thought, yeah, that sounds very Old Testament. But there's more. And she was able to just tell him there's more than that. It's not us doing something to maintain this relationship with the Lord. It's Him first. He initiated relationship with us. He initiated everything comes from God first, everything good. And we are all just recipients, responders to everything that the Lord has done. We can't claim anything of ourselves, can we? And the Lord has opened Himself up, made Himself available for all of us. And here we are, if we have a clean heart, a willing, obedient heart, we can enter in through the blood of Jesus. We can enter into this place of fellowship, real fulfillment, real enjoyment. We won't find it in, you know, all of these other activities in and of themselves. It's Him first, fellowship with Him first. I was thinking about Mary and Martha. It's a great illustration, isn't it? Mary choosing the better part. Just pouring herself out in worship and devotion to the Lord. Martha was just busying around, you know, cooking, serving, washing dishes, doing all that stuff that was very, very necessary. But first things first, devotion and worship, maintaining that place of fellowship, that communion with the Lord first, and from there, all of these acts of service and our work for the Lord springs from that place. And it's great, isn't it, that this is really what makes, when I think about even our group here, it's wonderful, just the enjoyment and the pleasure that we have of being together. And really, it stems all from this relationship that we all have with the Lord Jesus, doesn't it? If you take that away, then really it's just, it's a social club, isn't it? Like, it's a really nice one, but it's a social club. But for us, the enjoyment of being together all comes again from this relationship, this communion with the Lord. It's an old-fashioned word, communion, isn't it? But I love it. There's just something about it that kind of speaks of oneness, partaking one from the other. It's not a common word we use anymore, but we symbolize it, don't we, every Sunday? And it's great. It's wonderful. And it's what the Lord wants. Let me just read a psalm. You can turn there if you want. It's Psalm 107. Verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. It's just a very simple verse, but it just speaks so much, doesn't it? If we have a desire, if we have a hunger for the Lord, he is faithful to satisfy that hunger and that desire. Our part really is just to be willing. Just to be willing to lay aside every other love, every other distraction, every other focus. Open the door and just move in. Move right into all that the Lord has for us. What a great privilege. I was thinking this morning, Roger had that illustration. It was a great one of the dried sticks. You remember he said, we don't want our lives to be just dried up sticks. Speaking about Aaron's rod that budded. We want fruit. We want something that people are going to see and they'll think, yes, they've got something. They don't just want to look at a dried stick. I think it's a great illustration. But our fellowship, our communion, our closeness with the Lord will produce this fruit. It will produce these buds. And you just trust that people will recognize it, don't you? We look at, I mean, there's a whole world out there of need. People that really have been given a wrong impression of what love is, really, haven't they? And again, it's sin coming in to wreck relationships. But there's so many people out there looking for an answer, looking for this love, looking for this acceptance. And they can find it in the Lord, and we have, in one sense, not the answer, but we have an answer. The Lord Jesus is the answer, but we can just point, can't we? It's a wonderful privilege for each one of us. Was one last thought I had and it's gone from my mind, so I'm going to stop. But praise the Lord.